They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
With travel restrictions relaxing, the long journey to recovery for airline businesses begins. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. London's Heathrow Airport today said passenger numbers jumped 74% in July from a year ago. While that's still down more than 80% from pre-pandemic levels, the company says it's a sign consumer confidence is on the rise as more people become fully vaccinated and travel restrictions continue to ease. The pandemic has been brutal to airlines, no doubt, and many have cut routes to save costs. But this evening, low-cost carrier JetBlue will fly its first jet from New York to London as it begins a new service on the world's most lucrative route. The BBC's Rob Young has been talking to the company's chief executive about why the airline believes now is the right time to branch out.
JetBlue says that London is the biggest market from New York that it doesn't currently serve, and so it's planning five US-UK services a day in the longer term. And the company says that since it opened booking for this service from JFK to London Heathrow, it has seen strong demand. JetBlue thinks that it will be able to disrupt, as it says, the transatlantic aviation market in the way that it thinks it has on many domestic American routes. Here's JetBlue's chief executive, Robin Hayes.
When JetBlue started its business class service between JFK and LAX, we saw premium fares come down by over 50%. And 7 years later, they're still significantly down on where they were back in 2013 and 2014.
But how disruptive will JetBlue really be for this route? Because there are well-established players and other airlines have tried and failed. So what does JetBlue think it can do differently?
JetBlue is trying to position itself as slightly cheaper than some of the bigger players. And the company says it does expect to have an impact on prices across that market. But history shows you that when airlines have tried to come into the transatlantic market and offer a cheaper proposition, they haven't necessarily fared very well. The most recent example is Norwegian, which had to file for bankruptcy protection back in November 2020.
Now, earlier this week, Rob, we had a dire report from the UN on climate change warning we need to really start seriously reducing our emissions. Starting a new long-haul route doesn't really seem like a way to do that. So what is JetBlue's response to that?
Well, this is a huge issue for all airlines around the world. Now, JetBlue say they are going to be using smaller aircraft than their transatlantic rival, so they will emit less carbon. They're using the single-aisle Airbus. And they also say that they are using more sustainable fuel and they have bought a hydrogen technology business as well. And so the plan is much longer term. JetBlue aircraft could well be powered by hydrogen, but that is some way off.
The BBC's Rob Young. Thanks for your time.
You're very welcome.
Well, shares of JetBlue ended yesterday's session up 2.3% in New York. They look to start today's session mostly flat. Checking some other numbers now, trading just slightly higher, European benchmarks have again hit fresh records. They're buoyed by upbeat corporate earnings results. Tensions in Poland over a proposed media law could topple the country's government today. The legislation would ban ownership of the nation's television stations by some non-European foreign investors. It's seen as a direct attack on the American-owned TVN channel, which is one of the biggest commercial stations in the country. The BBC's Adam Easton has more on that story from Warsaw.
The amendments to the Broadcasting Act would strengthen a ban on non-European companies owning Polish broadcasters. The government says it wants to prevent Russian or Chinese companies taking control of the country's media. But in practice, it seems the main victim of this law would be the US-owned TVN channel, which threatens to sour relations with Washington and deepen concern in the EU about democratic backsliding in Poland. The government already controls the public media, which it has turned into a mouthpiece for the ruling camp. It also recently used a state oil company to buy the country's largest privately owned regional media publisher from its German owners.
That's the BBC's Adam Easton reporting from Warsaw there. Lebanon has just marked a year since a deadly port explosion that's wreaked havoc on an already struggling economy. Now gas and diesel supplies are expected to run out in a matter of days, and three people have died in armed fights over supplies. That's having a severe knock-on effect to industries ranging from food production to healthcare, as the BBC's Rami Rahim told me from Beirut.
This fuel crisis, in a nutshell, basically threatens to paralyze the entire country with factories that produce critical products for hospitals are shutting down. The pharmaceuticals industry, it's not very big in Lebanon. They are suffering as well. They might stop producing anything very soon. Hospitals, they've had to limit their use quite severely recently. They start with switching the air conditioning off. They might have to completely shut down. And then you start thinking of bakeries, of mills, which have also made announcements yesterday and today that they will have to stop working. Really, I think the word paralysis isn't really an exaggeration. We are heading there very quickly.
So what is the government doing to try to alleviate this pressure?
It's been a year since the resignation of the last government, and we still don't have a government in place. There's almost a consensus that the first step towards a solution is the formation of a government that can start talks with the IMF and start implementing the kind of reforms that will unlock further aid from the international community, as in aid that is not just humanitarian, but the kind of aid that will kickstart the economy and enable Lebanon to move to the phase where it starts building a new economic model. Now, some people disagree with that, but in the absence of a government, no solution seems possible.
The BBC's Rami Rahim for us in Beirut. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.